The angel said to her, "You will preside over this house," and he named the house in which she was to preside as the servant of those angels. Her task was to see that everything was in order in that whole house. Furthermore, she was to take care of the garden and the forest that bordered the house. There, too, she had to ensure that everything was in order. She was introduced to her work by another servant, who was then allowed to move up after the mother soul had taken up her new work. She was informed about her occupations and work, about everything that had to be done in the house and where everything had to be in order. She was informed the task that she had to take care of sending out invitations to other angels and that she should also ensure that the table was always well stocked. She also had to take care of the flower decorations inside and outside the house. She was also to ensure that the flower beds in the garden were constantly being changed, and she also had to work in the forest. To cope with all of this, however, she had a number of servants at her disposal who would carry out the respective tasks. This mother soul was delighted by this, and so her son Jacob was actually forgotten more and more, because this task and life in this world made her happy. It was a wonderful world, and she thought it was wonderful to be a servant of God's angels, because she was also allowed to accompany these angels to festivals herself, and she was always allowed to be there as a servant when they invited her. So she had a beautiful and varied job to do, and she found herself content and happy. Then the hour came when she was told that her son Jacob would now also pass over into the spiritual world, and she was asked to fetch this spirit. And so she stood there at her son's deathbed and was now able to receive the spirit. When Jacob had laid aside his earthly body, he was delighted and pleased to see his mother so beautifully dressed. The mother was able to receive her son. What joy there was for both of them! Jacob was happy and proud that his mother was so beautiful, and his mother was happy that she could take Jacob to her heaven. She didn't yet know any other connections. She was very happy with the task she was carrying out and now hoped to be able to share this activity with Jacob. Just as she had, Jacob also had to undergo purification, for he too had to forget earthly memories and overcome human thinking. He therefore had to adapt to this higher atmosphere. He too was led to this place, where this sublime, wonderful music was supposed to do its part to lift this newly arrived spirit into this sphere, to make him happy, to erase his memories of human life as best as possible. And so Jacob also stayed there in a room and heard this beautiful music, which made him happy. The mother had been able to say to him beforehand, "I was there too." In just a few words she could tell him how wonderful heaven was, how wonderful it was to be near God, and that one could be happy even as a servant of the angelic beings and could always go to the most beautiful festivals and be present at the most lofty invitations. One could experience the highest spirits and princes of heaven, and talk to them. Even if one was only a servant of the angelic world, one was valued, respected and loved by the high spirits. She could only quickly communicate this to her son. It was much less difficult for him to adapt to the new circumstances and this new world, for nothing bound him to the earthly realm. It had been different with his mother. And since he could break away much more quickly, this was a certain advantage for him. He had no desire to think back to earthly life, to reflect on those memories, but he had only one desire, to be happy and content in this heaven, in this heavenly world. But in one respect he did have some inhibitions. His mother had quickly adapted to this new world, while he, who had raised his mind and only longed to live in such a glorious world, asked himself, "Do I really deserve this? Am I not too humble and simple a spirit? Am I not too ignorant to live in this sublime world?" So he thought about it, but these thoughts only came when he was taken out of purification. This purification was, it must be noted in passing, not a purification of distress, as is the case in the lower planes. Rather, this purification under this sublime music serves the spirit to adapt to this new world in order to be able to better overcome memories of earthly life. As already mentioned, Jacob succeeded in this, but he could not overcome his excessive modesty. He felt too low, he felt too ignorant to serve in this glorious world. And when the angelic world wanted to take him to his mother, he asked that they not take him into such a high world, because he felt too ignorant and was worried that he would not be able to fulfill his tasks. The angel had to explain this to him and say, "If you feel so ignorant, then we will have you taught first. You should go to a school where you can absorb the most necessary knowledge, and later, over time, you will be taught more and more about everything worth knowing, about everything that will be necessary for you." He agreed to this. So he attended spiritual schools that could give him a little more knowledge, and this knowledge also gave him greater security. The fact that he initially had such inhibitions was due to his earthly life, for it was still in his soul, it was still in his memory, that he had not received any significant, great education as a human being. He had only attended modest classes, and so he had not felt very clever in his human life and had a certain shyness towards people. These feelings remained in his soul, and so he believed that he was ignorant in the spiritual world too, and that this could be a hindrance to him. In the spiritual schools he learned quickly and easily, for he too suddenly felt as if everything was so familiar and known to him. He was not only taught about the necessary order of the spiritual world, about those laws and tasks, about the plan of salvation and redemption, but there was also much more that one had to be taught about as an elevated spirit. When this time was over and he had now been able to absorb a good amount of knowledge, he felt much more secure, and so he could now fulfill the tasks together with his mother. He too was to be a servant of God. He was also given the task of keeping the house in order and of seeing to it that the spiritual possessions of these angels were in order. They now did this together. But now they were entrusted with further work. Elizabeth and Jacob now had several houses in which exalted angels of God lived, and here they now had to see to it that everything was in order. There was truly a lot to do. There were always invitations, they always had guests, and they were also invited back. They had to bring invitations here and there, they had orders to give, the two of them certainly did not lack work. They were very satisfied with the work they were allowed to do, and their mutual bond actually became ever closer. In their lifetime they had been mother and son, but they were also related in spirit. However, the two of them had no knowledge of this, they only felt this special connection. And so they allowed a high angel to instruct them in their own matter. As servants of these high angels, they had more opportunity and possibilities than other working spirit brothers and sisters to talk to them, and they could also learn more about their own spiritual life. One's position therefore gave one a certain advantage, and such a spirit of God endeavored to explain their true connections to the two. It was now indicated to them that they were also mother and son in spirit, that they belonged to the same spiritual family. The angel of God also explained to them that they could now carry out their tasks together for a period of time determined by the spirit world of God. When this specific period was over, they had to separate and each would take up their own, independent work. It was also indicated to them that a new earthly life awaited them, although they had reached such a spiritual height through their meritorious, patient life. In their new earthly existence they were to provide confirmation that they were capable of later carrying out even higher, further tasks than just being servants of the angels, but that was still a certain distance away. Now that these two felt this connection and knew that they belonged to the same spiritual family and were bound together by the bond of togetherness, they wanted this connection, this spiritual togetherness with all the associated sublime feelings of helpfulness, courtesy and mutual attention, that everything that happened with them should make an impression on the other spirit brothers and sisters and be an example. For there were also other spirit beings active who could not be specifically described as spiritual servants, but who had to perform a lower work, for even in the elevated heavens there are various activities that must be carried out. These activities are assigned to the spirit beings according to their spiritual merits. There are also spirit beings active in these heights who are not perfect and who still have to learn. Although they have entered a higher plane, one may lack understanding, another lacks kindness, another lacks compassion, another is not generous enough. So vices are still there, And so these beings should be able to learn from their superiors in order to overcome the inferior. These superiors should be shining examples for them, for their further ascent. Elizabeth and Jacob were such shining examples for the other active spirit brothers and sisters, who also had to fulfill their tasks in the houses of the angelic beings. In general, you were told that the spirits are of ascension, and that they stand and live in lower or higher levels depending on their spiritual achievements and wait for their further elevation. Anyone who has reached this spiritual greatness in human life, but is still afflicted with certain vices, can indeed take on such an elevated level, but he still has to overcome the necessary things there. And that is what happens with these working spirit brothers and sisters. Now the time came when Elizabeth and Jacob were separated again in the spiritual world. For each of them was now to take on his own task independently. The new earthly life awaited them, and they were now to be prepared for this. The higher a spirit can ascend in the spiritual world and the more he settles into this elevated spiritual world and allows that atmosphere of spiritual sublimity to work on him, the more difficult it can be for him when he has to enter an earthly life again and assume humanity. There is a great difference between life and work in an elevated spiritual state and life in this earthly world. The earthly world has a completely different influence on people. It surrounds them with its laws and with everything that is usual in this world, and it influences them. And when an elevated, exalted spirit takes on this incarnation, sometimes a soul does not really find its way in its earthly body. It may be that this person, through his, one cannot say fall, through his incarnation, cultivates a dreamy existence. He is not yet fully connected with this world, which is so very different from the spiritual world from which he comes. So it very often happens that such spiritual beings who have to take on human existence simply cannot find their way in their lives. They may have great artistic gifts, they may be intelligent, but otherwise they cannot find their way in the world. This is because the spirit simply cannot familiarize itself with this new atmosphere, that it finds it difficult to accept and understand this new world, just as it is the other way around, that a spirit that is so connected to the earthly world, that has a materialistic way of thinking, and only lives for the transience of the world, when it comes over to the spiritual world, cannot find its way in this new world either. It does not feel comfortable here and it wants to go back to its old home, it wants to do and live again as it lived as a human being. It cannot accept the new. The same can happen to a sublime spirit that has to start a new human life. It simply cannot find its way here for its entire life. But it must be said that these are people who have a spiritual greatness, who do no harm to anyone, who are not materialistic, who are prepared to give everything to others and to face nothing. They have no greed or desire for possessions, they are always ready to give everything at any time. Such people are very often embodied spirits who once occupied a sublime position in the spiritual world and can no longer find their way in the earthly world. This is just an explanation, and basically it should actually come to this: if man is to become spiritual, then he must be able to detach himself more and more from this earthly possession, as was explained to you recently, at the Meditation Week 1970. He must be less and less interested in it, he must attach less and less importance to earthly things. He must be able to detach himself from earthly things and should not have any desire or addiction to possessions, he should not give away any of his possessions and not begrudge others anything. All of this is not spiritual and is not a sign of spiritual sublimity. What I have now told you about these two should give you something to think about. This should enable you to judge your fellow human beings better and to judge less those who are not attached to earthly goods and cannot cope with them and who, if they have something, often simply give it back. What a sublimity of a person when he gives what he owns to another. This is a spiritual virtue. It is better to give up possessions yourself and give to those who have nothing. Because you should think about what the world beyond will look like, which you conquer through such a human life. You will be raised to heights in the spiritual world if you showed modesty in your earthly life, if you did not harm or deceive people in any way. These are things that count for a lot in the spirit. It all depends on how you live and lived in this world. Anyone who raises himself to a high level in his life, whether apparently spiritually or in materialism, will certainly be brought down and degraded in the spiritual world. He will no longer possess what he once possessed, and it will be difficult for him to erase the memory of his former possessions from his mind, to lose the memory of them. Then he will suffer the same fate as many others. He will want to return to earth and live there and possess what he possessed in his human life. Anyone who can detach himself from all things as a human being and at the same time lives spiritually, will one day be carried to the heights by the spiritual world. But it is not enough to simply say, I can detach myself from all these things, they mean nothing to me, while on the other hand you want to possess them and do not detach yourself from them. Empty words alone do not help. It is like a prayer that you say without connecting it with actions. Everything has to be coordinated if it is to be noticed in the spiritual world. And so I was able to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, about these two people. When I said that they lived about 100 years ago, you can perhaps imagine how modest the world was then, how little could be offered to people. But even in such a time, one had to have a good heart and understanding of the environment. Those two proved that they had it. When they entered the spiritual world, they reached these heights, these magnificent heavens, and became servants of heavenly beings. But even though they have become so refined and elevated in spirit, they cannot avoid assuming human incarnation again in order to prove their virtues again in a world that has become so different, that offers many more opportunities for error and greater temptations than before. Elevated spiritual beings must also be born into such a world in order to prove themselves again. The divine world hopes that those spirit brothers and sisters who were so permeated by everything divine in the world beyond will not succumb too much to materialism when they have to accept the incarnation again, that as human beings they will be able to distance themselves somewhat from this materialistic way of thinking and from everything that today's modern world has to offer a human being. Perhaps you can imagine in your mind how difficult it must be for a sublime spirit when it has to accept the incarnation again. It does not know how great the temptations will be and whether it will pass its tests. If it does not pass them, people will be sad about it when it returns. It will be sad itself and cry that it has not achieved what it had in mind because it has not passed the test. And so the spirit world of God knows where you, dear friends, stand in your world and what temptations it brings you, but the world of God also knows what teachings are being offered to you on the other hand, that you are being told how important it is not to become slaves to materialism. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I will withdraw and would like to emphasize that these two spirit beings, Jacob and Elizabeth, are at my side and listen to what I said to you. They would like me to send you greetings and tell you that you should not forget the spiritual world. That you should never forget these many stories and teachings that are always being given to you, this look into the other world as it is. What it demands of you and what awaits you, that you should spread your hands out to the higher and noble. For then your soul will be happy and look forward to returning home. May God's blessing accompany you all. God's greetings. Experience report by Spirit Teacher Joseph through his mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Quartenkdenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording, November 4, 1970. Heavenly training for beings with the simplest of minds and humble dispositions. Insights into the life beyond of a family that lived on earth without schooling and in poor conditions. Joseph, greetings from God. Dear brothers and sisters, it is I, your trusted friend, and I will speak to you this evening, for it is not possible to let all the ascending spirit beings that we select for these experience reports speak for themselves. I have the opportunity to leaf through the life book of these returned people, to get my bearings. I look back at their lives and how they fared when they passed over into the spiritual world. And so I would like to tell you in this hour about a couple of parents and the son who came with them. I will try to explain it to you as I was able to experience it in that review. I will also reproduce in your language certain conversations that took place. So a couple with a large number of children lived in great poverty, and these parents had difficulty supporting their children, But it always worked out. They got the bare necessities to eat, they simply created the opportunity to do so. Nor were they so strict about domestic order. Nevertheless, they still had time to sit on the bench in front of the house, for hours at a time. When these two parents became old and their children had grown up, the children had to support their parents. They all lived together in a modest house, and the old parents sat on this bench in front of the house whenever possible. They talked to the neighbors and also had to look after the small children. And so the time came for these two when they had to say goodbye to the world. I would not omit to say that they both believed that they had lived piously, piously in quotation marks. They went to church and they prayed exactly as they were told. They worshipped the saints exactly as they had been taught. They had no particular idea about life after death, but they expected that after death one would go to heaven. The two of them also had great reverence for the Madonna and also for Christ, but the Madonna came first. First the old mother died. She was carried into her new world by the spirit world of God. Everything was prepared for her. She was allowed to live in a house with a small garden. There were no other buildings in the immediate vicinity, but there were large fields. The mother now took her place in this house. Then spirits of God came to her and informed her that it would not be long before her husband came to her too. Until her former life partner returned home, spirits of God came to her and told her about her fears. And relatives also lived in the spiritual world, but who were actually far removed from it. Some were more deeply developed in their spiritual development and were unable to visit their relatives who had returned home. Others were partly very advanced and had ascended and would visit them when they had the opportunity. Well, this mother soul had the desire to pray to the Madonna. She also asked when the Madonna would take her home. By this home she naturally meant entering the splendor and glory of heaven. She was told that she was now in a pre-heaven and would stay here for a while. Then she would be allowed to experience the heavenly glory, but it would still be a good while before that. First she had to get together with her husband and they would live together for a while. When they had both reached a point where their souls and thoughts had been somewhat elevated, they would be allowed to leave this place. Well, this mother soul, her name was Maria, was very pleased, because the house was very tidy, everything was clean. She had never known such cleanliness in her human life. What particularly surprised her was that there was also a bench in front of the house. And so she sat there exactly as she had sat on her earthly bench in front of the house when she was alive. In general, she had the impression that everything was so similar to what was on earth. She had a garden, and in this garden there were only a few bushes. There were no flowers, but there were vines. And so she was happy and content about that. After all, she had the feeling that she would never have to be hungry or thirsty, because to her admiration there were the most beautiful grapes. She had been told that it would not be long before her husband, his name was Alberto, would come too, and then they could be together for a while to adjust to the new world and settle in here. She was of course very happy that she was told this, because she had already been worried that Alberto would not be able to find his way without her and that she would have to see to it that things were in order. And so it happened. Alberto was brought to her and she received him with great enthusiasm. He seemed a little tired and sleepy. The house was very simple with everything in it, but it had three beds. So Alberto could lie down and rest. She did not leave his side. The beings who brought him said to her, "You can stay next to Alberto until he opens his eyes. But you can continue to do as you like. You can sit on the bench and watch what is going on and then check on Alberto again from time to time." And so she did. First she knelt down in front of his bed, believing that this sleep would only last a short time, and so she did not want to miss the moment when he would open his eyes. But it was taking too long for her, so she sat down on the bench in front of her house again. She saw that various beings were walking past and were always nodding and smiling at her in a friendly way. They were also dressed very elegantly and had a very special, friendly, loving smile for her. Maria had gotten used to it, because they regularly walked past her house. And when she saw them coming, she would wave to them, and these noble beings, let's call them now, would also wave to Maria and go on their way. But now the moment came when Alberto woke up and Maria was next to him. So she had to explain to him and say, "We can now live together for a while. We are in heaven, but actually we are in a pre-heaven." And she explained to him that they had to wait there until the Madonna would come and take them both to heaven. Alberto listened, and he found this environment quite pleasant. He said, "It is exactly the same as on Earth. But here we have enough space, a house for both of us. And it seems to him to be very good and nice." Alberto also sat down on the bench and so they watched what was going on. Their house stood alone, so to speak. Wherever they looked, they only saw fields, but they knew that there was a village not far away and that these beings who were passing by were going to this village. Now these noble beings passed by again and smiled and waved to the two of them. Then Maria said to Alberto, "They are very noble beings and they are very well disposed towards me. And so I believe, if they are well disposed towards me, they will be well disposed towards you too." But Alberto was not at all enthusiastic about the friendliness of these supposedly beautiful or noble beings, because he still had a lot of human thoughts and many memories from his past life in his soul, unpleasant memories of people who acted noble. He still had this feeling and he said to Maria that one could not trust these nobles here either, it would be better to avoid them. Because he spoke from experience, in his whole human life he had not had good experiences with such nobles. And so he told about his life, by whom he had been deceived and betrayed by such nobles. And so Alberto thought he knew better that it was probably no different in the new world. So he said, "There is so much that is similar to the world in which we lived, even if the matter here is a little less condensed." He could see that, but it was too similar to what was on Earth for him. And so he asked Maria to go into the house with him when these nobles came back. "You had to avoid them, because that's how they started. First they would smile at them in a friendly way, and then very soon they would come and possibly send them away from the house. Or they would have to pay God knows how much for the house." Maria said to him, "Alberto, we don't have to pay anything." But Alberto didn't trust this, and when these nobles actually passed by again and Alberto saw them, he took Maria by the hand and walked quickly into the house with her, so he was full of mistrust. Maria didn't like that, but she had been used to obeying Alberto. Then they sat down again on the bench and found life heavenly, since they were in the pre-heaven. But Maria said, "I'm interested in what's going on in the village. I'd like to go to the village sometime. I see so many people who are always passing by, and I'd like to know where they're going." Alberto said, "Good, you can go." But he warned her not to have any conversations with any noble people she might meet. She had to hold back because they were not to be trusted. And so Maria went into the village. Of course she had to admire everything. In this village there were many buildings and there were also gardens, she even saw some animals. She began to be interested in them and she stopped there on the spiritual road and asked someone who was passing by. She was very careful not to speak to anyone of noble or noble rank, she only wanted to speak to a very humble being. Then she asked this stranger and he answered her, "You certainly haven't been here long enough to not know anything about it." "Yes," she said, "I live nearby with Alberto. But I'm interested in what's going on here." And he replied, "We have to work and we have to go to school." And then he asked Maria, "Don't you go to school?" And Maria answered, "No. Why should I go to school?" "Well, could you read and write when you were human?" "Not write," she said, "read very little. I could write my name. But we got through life anyway." "And are you alone?" he asked. "No, I told you, I'm with my husband Alberto." "Oh yes, and he, could he write? Could he do arithmetic? Could he read?" "Oh no, that wasn't necessary. You got by with what little you knew." "Then it's time for you to make an effort to go to school with your husband, because you have to learn to write, read, do arithmetic and a lot more besides." Maria didn't like that and she asked, "And what else do people do here in this village? It doesn't look like there's school next to school. No, we have to work too. There are all kinds of crafts that you have to do and you have to learn to work. He patted her on the shoulder and said, we haven't worked all that much, Maria. And he was gone. So she stood there and wondered.